This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always and forever begin with the praise, the thanks of Allah. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our love, greetings, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen wa alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we start a new series inshaAllah. And with 15 days to go for Ramadan, really, to put into perspective, this is the big event on your calendar this year. Even if you're getting married this year, even if you're going to have a new job, and may Allah bless you with all the khair and barakah this year, this is the biggest event on your calendar and my calendar. And just to put it into perspective, this dunya, this life, is a test. We are here for 60, 70 years, sometimes more, sometimes less. Allah had given us one job to do, to worship Him alone. Doesn't matter how much money you make, because Allah is going to take it back. Doesn't matter how much success you have, because it will come to an end. It doesn't matter what you succeed or don't get. Eventually you will die as you enter the dunya. Alone, naked, with nothing. We'll all end up like that. Doesn't matter. And then Allah is going to weigh our deeds. And the one whose deeds are more on the good side will enter Jannah, where he will never ever feel sadness again. He will never ever worry or feel any kind of unhappiness. And the one whose deeds are light and deficient, then either Allah forgives him or Allah condemns him to Jahannam. Allah protect us. Ultimately, it comes down to that. Your life, my life. And if Allah were to take you or me today, now, what is the status of our deeds? Are we ready? We don't know. Allah alam. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. We could have many years. We could have a few years. We don't know if our deeds are sufficient. If we have done our job in terms of worshipping Him. Have we done enough to attain Jannah? And so Allah blesses us with bonus months, with a bonus that is unlike any other bonus for the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that for 11 months of the year we've sinned. 11 months of the year we looked at haram, said haram, did haram, our money is haram. But out of His mercy, He allows us to fix it all with 1 month. In fact, not only will Ramadan, can it, a proper Ramadan, fix a year of sin, it can fix a lifetime of sin. It is that bonus that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you get it right, you can attain your Jannah in that 30 days. You can guarantee your place in Jannah in that 30 days. Every sin that you've done for 70 years can be wiped away within those 30 days. If we get it right. If we get it right. And how do we know how many Ramadans do we have? We don't know how many Ramadans that we have. And if we look at the many Ramadans that have come and gone, how many of those were actually accepted? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most gracious and most generous, that He accepts the little that we do. But to get a completely accepted Ramadan is something altogether different. You might get some of the salah accepted, some of the du'as accepted, some of the rewards. But to get a completely accepted Ramadan, that is something complete, that is something spectacular. And then Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ and as for those who spend مَا آتَى وَكُلُوبُهُمْ وَجَلَى, those who spend and their hearts palpitate, أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, and they are scared. So Allah says, there are those who do good deeds, but they are fearful. And then Aisha radiallahu anh asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people that are spending and doing good deeds and fasting and are scared, are these the ones that commit sin on the side? They drink and they... So the Nabi says, no. These are not those. These are the pious people, the good ones. Their fear is, Allah, are you going to accept my good deeds? Are you going to accept it? Did I do enough for it to be accepted? Because doing the deed is one thing, but getting accepted from Allah is something completely different. And now I ask a very scary question to myself and to you. Has our Ramadans that we fasted for the last 10, 20, 30 years been accepted? Because as we said, if one is accepted, walhamdulillah, then you can feel that's a big step towards Jannah. Now how do I know if Allah has accepted any of the Ramadans that I've done? How do I know that? There are certain litmus tests that you can do. Of those litmus tests, how much of that Ramadan's good deeds remained? If you, and we all did this, we tried to recite more Quran, how much of that recitation became part of our habit afterwards? We made more tahajjud to more taraweeh salah. How much of our salah improved after Ramadan? If your life changed, even by a little, after Ramadan, then it had a lifetime impact on you. It had a lasting impact. It wasn't just a fad. It wasn't just a diet and a quick fix. Yes, Allah will accept even the quick fix, but they didn't achieve that lifelong change. And subhanAllah, I liken it, and I don't know if it still happens, in the past, maybe our grandparents, they prepared their life to go on Hajj. And when they went on Hajj, only once, they never went on multiple umrahs on Hajj. Their whole life, they went on one Hajj. And when they came back to Cape Town, they were upgraded to Haji. And automatically, when you're a Haji, your life changed. Now, you have to wear duki. You had to wear duki before, but now, a Haji can't not wear duki. A Haji must conduct himself or herself in a manner. Because that 1 week in Makkah, those 6 days of Hajj, transformed my life completely. And it's an indication of acceptance. But we've gone through dozens of Ramadans. It hasn't transformed us permanently. It may be transformed us in that month. How much of the sin that we gave up in Ramadan persists with us afterwards? And so it is a scary thought that maybe this great bonus opportunity has come and went, and we didn't take the full benefits. So how do we make, if this was our last Ramadan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to you and me, Ramadan 2022 is the last Ramadan I'm going to give you, the last opportunity to get all your sins forgiven, to get your place in Jannah secured, you're not going to get there again. And how many people are not with us this Ramadan? How many people that we know has passed away in this last year or 2 years? How do we make the most of it? And so, ultimately, it is in the hands of Allah. But today, inshallah, we start the series. We have got about 3 weeks before, our three Jumu'ahs before Ramadan comes. Can we strategically plan our way forward to make the most of this Ramadan? And there are certain focus areas we will discuss. And always, so we begin, inshallah, the pre-Ramadan prep work. There's some prep work you can do before Ramadan. And it begins with number one, as we know, innamal a'malu binniyyah. Getting the first step is in the heart. The niyyah must begin. A niyyah is not, and I say this so many times, that nawaitu sawma ghadin is unnecessary, unneeded. We don't need to recite that. You must just have the niyyah from a fiqh aspect, I'm going to fast tomorrow. You must know I'm fasting tomorrow. But deeper than that, the niyyah is really your purpose, your intention. What do I want to achieve from this Ramadan? And many of us don't take that opportunity to think about it. If someone were to ask, why do you fast? Well, I fast because I have to fast, because the moon was sighted and khalas. Versus, if someone asks you, why are you fasting? I said, this is the year I'm going to get my Jannah. SubhanAllah, it's a different niyyah. This is the year all my sins are going to be forgiven. This is the year I fix every aspect of my life. This is the year that when it's done bi-idhnillah, I'm ready to meet my Rabb. This is the year I will get close to Allah. That is a niyyah. And remember, the Nabi says, Allah will reward you and give you based on your niyyah. So before now and the first night of Ramadan, make that niyyah sincere in your heart. Make that purpose of this Ramadan sincere in our hearts. And like I said, there are so many hadith with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before Ramadan, he gave a khutbah. It was his habit. Before Ramadan, he would give a khutbah. And he said to the Sahaba, many hadith which you know, he said, O Sahaba, a month is about to come where the doors of Jannah are open. Meaning what? The access to Jannah is free now. The road to Jannah is wide, wide open. As one alim said, imagine the banks told you, everyone here who's got a bond, everyone here who has a debt, we are for the next month leaving the banks wide open. Take what you want of the money. Take what you need of money. Really, if anyone still has debt at the end of Ramadan, at the end of that month, what a loser are you? You just come in and take what you want. Allah has made Jannah wide open for whoever wants it. He said, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that there are three opportunities to get all your sins forgiven. Whoever fasts with iman consistently through the month. Whoever makes salah with iman consistently through the month. Okay, even if you can't be consistent from the beginning to the end, then at least capture Laylatul Qadr, the last 10 nights somewhere. In that last 10 nights, make an effort. If you are sincere with Allah on those days, on those months, in those nights, all your sins, subhanAllah, all the sins. Zina, murder, subhanAllah, drug, whatever it is, Allah is going to forgive all of it, bi-idhnillah. And it's part of your niyyah is to have that mental audit. What are the sins that I know on my scale? It's not for anyone else, it's just between you and Allah. And those sins, ya Allah, my niyyah is, I will get those forgiven through you and through your mercy, ameen. We know that also the Nabi says that in this month, in the next month, comes the greatest night of the year. The night where your decree is put out, where your life, your death, whether you're going to get the promotion, whether you're going to get married, whether you're going to die, Allah is going to decree that within this coming month, within the month of Ramadan. And from a spiritual side, it is a lifetime of good deeds. That even if the person who lived a very mediocre life, think about this, subhanAllah, a person who did nothing for the sake of Allah, and he comes to Ramadan, he can get all his sins forgiven. And if he captures Laylatul Qadr, he has 80 years of ibadah, 80 years of perfect worship. No nation, no ummah got a bonus opportunity like this. And so it's coming up. And we know that the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, the reward of a person who gets one accepted Ramadan is even greater than the reward of a person who dies fi sabilillah as a shaheed. Subhanallah. We know that if you die a shaheed, that's it. Straight ticket to Jannah. The full benefit of Ramadan is even more than that. And so, that's why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, surely, Ameen. He said, Ameen to Jibreel. The Sahaba said, what are you saying Ameen to? So he said, Jibreel made three du'as. One of them was, the person who gets Ramadan and is unable to get any benefit from it, then he truly is a loser. Then that person really is something else. There's not a single person that wants to get benefit in Ramadan except Allah is giving without any limits. Whoever asks is going to get. Whoever turns to Allah will be accepted. Whoever makes repentance will be forgiven. There is no with Allah in Ramadan. Every single person can get it if they want to get it. So whoever is, as the Nabi says, whoever is deprived of the goodness is indeed truly, you are a deprived. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut us not off from His mercy. And so this is the niyyah. The niyyah is about what I want to achieve from this month. And Allah tells you in the Quran, or tells me and you in the Quran, the reason why there is Ramadan, you hear this, and you're going to hear the ayah so many times, it's going to come out of your ears. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been made compulsory for you, like every other nation before you. From Adam until the end of time, Allah has made fasting part of the rituals which He recommends. Why? So that you may get taqwa, so that at the end of the day, the ultimate goal of Ramadan is that you and I become closer to Allah. It doesn't matter what you and I achieve financially, what we achieve in this dunya. The only difference between success and failure is the one who has a deeper connection with Allah. How do I get closer to Allah? You can do so many things, but Ramadan, Allah says, is that bonus opportunity where His arms are open to anyone who wants to come to Him. This is where you can attain taqwa in this month. And He says, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ in the next ayah. Allah says also that at the end of Ramadan, you should be more grateful and appreciative for what we have. The iman that we have. Now think about this. Now I've just mentioned to you all the benefits of Ramadan. How your sins can be forgiven. Your jannah can be given to you. You can be saved from Jahannam. We know that Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu. That dua we were going to recite, that all your sins are going to be forgiven. How many people would go 60, 70 years without being a Muslim and never once experienced Ramadan? And you and I, subhanAllah, Allah has given you and me this gift. Of the 100% in South Africa, 2% Muslims. What benefit, it's like you're winning the lottery, that Allah has given you and me this opportunity. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That you know, the fact that you've got one extra Ramadan, that you got it and your brother who passed away, grant him Jannatul Firdaus, they can't come back and get another Ramadan. The reward of one day of fasting in Ramadan, we know from the hadith that it is more rewarding fasting one day in Ramadan than to fast every single day throughout your lifetime. If you were to fast 100 years sunnah fasting, it does not equal one day in Ramadan, the reward. And one day, and we can start doing the maths, one day of fasting, 70,000 years, protection from the fire of Jahannam. So what is one day of Ramadan fasting? We can't begin to imagine. And Allah has given you and me that gift. And so it is about truly turning to Allah at the end of the month. So the niyyah, inshaAllah. And when we sit down, a niyyah is part of it. You know, you don't have to say in a way to, I don't know who we're saying it to, but you must have that conversation in your heart. Ya Allah, allow me to reach Ramadan, Ya Allah. Make that dua. Ya Allah, allow us to reach Ramadan. And grant us, Ya Allah, let this be the best Ramadan. And grant us to achieve every reward in that Ramadan. And grant us to have every sin forgiven, Ya Allah. And at the end of Ramadan, may we be a people of taqwa. And may we be a people that have shukr and gratitude. Part of that shukr is going to be obviously about what's happening in the world and all the mistakes that's happening. So the first thing is getting that niyyah right, and it's about a mindset. You know, like any big event, before you get married, you prepare yourself for that wedding. Before you write an exam, there's a mental prep. You don't just walk into the exam. And so Ramadan as well requires at least 2 weeks of thinking and contemplating. Thinking about where did I go wrong last year? How am I not going to do the same this year? The second thing, and we'll probably conclude with this, we've got a number of points to discuss. Next week we'll talk about the fiqh of fasting. What are the rules? You need to know the rules of fasting, but that's quite long. We'll do that next week. But inshallah, today to conclude off, there are some people, and all of us may be guilty of this, we do a lot of good deeds, inshallah. A lot of charity, a lot of salah, but it's not accepted. Why? There is a barrier of sin. There is something which we are doing wrong, which is preventing us from getting Allah's mercy. There are some deeds that Allah only accepts your good deeds contingent on you doing something else. That it is sort of hanging in the air. Until you do that, it's not going to go through. So what kind of sins are we talking about? We all sin. But there are special sins that prevent the acceptance of Ramadan. We know in Ramadan, the Nabi says, whoever does not give up bad speech, false speech, lying, false speech and acting upon it, then Allah is not in need of giving up your food and drink. So obviously, even if you fast the most beautiful fasting in terms of taking away from food and drink, you don't even think of food, let alone, you know, don't even smell it. But your interaction with people is wrong, then you're arguing still in the nights. You're still saying things which are haram. You're still doing, verbally you're doing things which are haram. That is going to damage your ability of your Ramadan being accepted. The second point, and this probably came up last night, many of you, you know, listening to the hadith about the significance of the 15th of Sha'ban, even though it's a bit weak, but the meaning is correct. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the good deeds of everyone, and accept the repentance of everyone, except two people. One, a person committing shirk. Anyone commits shirk, khalas, there's no benefit to anything that you do. The second one is where family members, relatives are not talking to one another. People have cut each other off from one another. You are not willing to forgive your brother, so Allah is not going to forgive until that is fixed. So part of that preparation before Ramadan, fix the relationships in your life. Fix that relationship with that brother, with that sister, with that parent, with that child. Not for him, not for her, but for your own sake. Don't let your hatred and your spite for someone cost you Ramadan. Cost you Jannah. Let not your pride and arrogance cause you to lose your Ramadan. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait until these two reconcile before I forgive them. You two reconcile. So fix this up before Ramadan begins. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also reminds us that, should I not tell you, this hadith we've repeated so many times, what is better than sunnah fasting? What is better than sunnah salah? What is better than sadaqah? Sunnah sadaqah. What is better than all these charities is to reconcile, you bring people together. Because he then says, where there is discord, there is khilaf, there is fighting between husband and wife and all that, it is the destroyer. The destroyer of good deeds. This destroyer, it shaves away your religious commitment. It takes away the barakah from your deeds. All that beautiful deeds presented to Allah, it is removed because of some evil you are doing with your family, or you're not fixing your family. So one of the big things that prevents the deeds from being accepted is that our relationships are not there. And that's why someone says, I've been fasting for 20 years, but ya Allah, Allah's not accepting my fasting. No changes. And I'm sincere. But you haven't spoken to your brother in 20 years also. Think about that. The other important thing, ya Ikhwan, it's very, very important. Fix your finances. And fix my finances. Riba, whether you have a car loan that is paying riba to the bank, or a house loan that you're paying riba to the bank, or have a pension fund that is earning riba, this is one of the major sins. And it is in the hadith where the Nabi says, a man comes crying, begging Allah, his clothes are untidy, he's gone all the way to Makkah maybe. And he's crying to Allah sincerely. And Allah says, look at this man, how sincere he is. But his food is haram, his money is haram, his clothes is haram, the food he eats, his flesh is haram. How do I accept this man's dua? How can I accept this man's dua? So each and every one of us, fix your finances. You cannot stand, well you can, but you think about it, you're standing in Taraweeh crying, but your riba is being earned haram in the background. Riba of the seven major sins. Riba, worse as one hadith, zina like your mother, with your mother, wa yadu billah. While you're doing that, making salah, making tahajjud, reciting Quran, that riba is accumulating. That riba to the bank, from the bank is accumulating. Fix your finances before Ramadan. These are the things that prevent that from being from being accepted. And lastly, of course, and it's not easy to give up all the sins one go. And therefore we need to wean ourselves off. As even the Sahaba did that. They didn't give up all the sins overnight, but they weaned themselves off. So if, as we get closer to Ramadan, we all commit our sins, whether big or small, now is the opportunity to start. If you're not wearing scarf, for example, with the sisters, begin now. If you're looking at things that are haram, make a point, I'm not going to look at those things for the sake of, at least Ramadan, for the sake of Allah, this Ramadan, where the idea goes forward. If we're wasting time talking nonsense about people on social media, whatever, now is the time to wean yourself off, so that when Ramadan starts, we are ready, we're not doing any sins. May Allah bless us with the best of Ramadans, grant us to achieve Ramadan, and for those who are not here to receive it, may Allah increase them in goodness and forgiveness in the qabr. Ameen, ameen, jazakallah khair. Are there any announcements, inshaAllah? Just a reminder that our Islam from Scratch continues on Thursdays. Lecture number 7 went out last night. Also we have on this Sunday, and maybe this is part of your Ramadan preparations. If in Ramadan, wallahi Ramadan is one of the worst times in terms of counseling. People come so many times after Eid with marital issues. Why? You're hangry in the day, you're tired at night, you're not intimate with each other, and so you're just upset with one another. If you find Ramadan is one of those months that always brings about arguing, then maybe this thing is for you. Sunday, this Sunday, 10 a.m., not p.m., 10 a.m., it will be a marriage understanding workshop between husbands and wives. It's not by me, it's by a psychologist or a mental health professional. They will teach you how to communicate, how to argue, how to agree, how to disagree. It's for married people. People are going to get married. Inshallah, if you're interested, please sign up. And then I think there's an expo, inshallah, next week as well. We'll give you more information on that. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salamu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.